Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. and Russia agreed to a prisoner swap involving Mark Fogel, an American schoolteacher who the Biden administration had deemed wrongfully detained by Russia, and Alexander Vinnik, a convicted Russian criminal who was being held in the United States. Three other prisoners are said to have been released by close Russian ally Belarus. This is White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said.
The president spoke to President Putin of Russia. They spoke at length, and the president released a statement following that conversation in great detail. I can also confirm that the president just recently got off the phone with President Zelensky.
Trump and Putin agreeing to begin working toward winding down the conflict in Ukraine. The Senate today confirmed Tulsi Gabbard to serve as Director of National Intelligence. The vote 52-48. Former Republican leader Mitch McConnell, the only Republican to vote against Gabbard's nomination. All other Republicans voted for Gabbard, all Democrats against her. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health released a new set of recommendations this week calling for more mental health support on college campuses. The new recommendations would include schools being more proactive in identifying if students need support with routine screenings and new staff training, as well as improving peer support systems. Wisconsin has seen a dramatic increase in the number of kids struggling with mental health in recent years, which has also been cited as a common reason students drop out of school. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election this April is on track to be the most expensive judicial campaign in state history. With less than 2 months to go until Election Day, Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimmel's campaigns have reported a combined nearly $13 million in fundraising. Judge Crawford's campaign reported a total of $7.7 million raised, and Judge Schimmel's campaign has reported about $5 million. The results of the election will determine if the court remains in liberal control or returns to a conservative majority. A massive fire destroyed parts of the Red Deer Lodge and Resort in the town of Spider Lake earlier this week. According to fire officials, crews from Spider Lake, Round Lake, Hayward, Bass Lake, and Cable responded to the blaze on Monday at around 1:30 p.m. It took about 6 hours to fully extinguish the fire, which resulted in the destruction of the lodge, bar, and living quarters at the site. Officials also say nobody was injured in the fire, and two people managed to escape the building when the fire started. The building was deemed a total loss. The annual American Birkebeiner race will take place as normal this year thanks to some last-minute snow. Race officials say participants will be able to complete the full course this time after being forced to change the course last year. The full course begins in Cable and takes thousands of skiers all the way to downtown Hayward, but lackluster snow conditions last year forced organizers to create a loop in the Cable area only. Officials say they will continue to monitor the course for any changes that could pose safety risks for racers. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Marquette ends their losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette with a victory last night over DePaul, 68-58 in Milwaukee. The Golden Eagles have struggled from behind the three-point line. I asked Marquette Stevie Mitchell on why it's been that way most of the season.
That's just how the game goes. I think, you know, there's players, teams that can shoot the ball poorly and then, you know, shoot the ball really well on any given night. So, you know, we're really proud of the win today because we shot the ball poorly and we're able to win ugly. And I think that's something we struggled to do the past three games, you know, when it got rough, when it got hard. You know, we weren't resilient like we were today in terms of just, you know, finding a way to win anyway, not getting caught up in, you know, our missed shots, not getting caught up in, you know, things that we really can't control, and just doubling down on all things we can control.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break this weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and cold today, with high temperatures staying stuck to the single digits, and a small chance of some light spotty snow. The flurries will wind down by late tonight. This is also when a cold weather advisory goes into effect. Temperatures slide to 15 below zero, and with wind chills, it'll be feeling about 30 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 6 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns discussing the gobs of money in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Also, the Wisconsin GOP wants state employees working in the office. Does that include legislators? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is even whiter outside right now. Looking out of my studio window here, coming to you from 540 AM WAUK across southeastern Wisconsin than it was when I started my show today at 2 o'clock. Aaron, of course, on the board with me, helping me out today. Aaron, how's it looking in the Madison area?
Well, I can show those of you watching on the stream. Let's see. I'll pull that camera up. The snowfall is a little lighter than it was earlier, and the city workers of Madison are doing a good job at keeping the streets as clear as they can. But it's still snowing pretty hard. I imagine we're going to have a few more inches by the end of the day or by tomorrow.
Folks, you can check out both Aaron and I working hard for you and Aaron's wonderful shot of downtown Madison by watching us and not just listening on Civic Media's YouTube channel. Just search for Civic Media, or you can check out my show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for at Maggie Dawn Show and you can watch us there. You can comment and we will respond as best we can. About a half an hour ago, I started sort of a deeper dive into the historical analogs of tin pot dictators that become actual dictators. And almost universally, they metastasize, they gain in power and traction when they forge meaningful, lasting relationships with the billionaire overlords of their time. Does this sound familiar to anyone? And you can look at Tito back in the former Yugoslavia, the Franco regime in Spain, Mussolini in Italy, Stalin in Russia, Erdogan, right? If you look into modern times, Kim Jong-un in modern times in North Korea, over and over and over again, these are the patterns. But perhaps the dictator, the authoritarian that has gotten the most attention and who is most often cited for that exact symbiotic, corrupting relationship between the billionaire overlords of their time and a dictator is Adolf Hitler. There's no question that Hitler would have never risen to power. He would have never been able to seize control of the German government and captured the hearts and minds of a vast majority of Germans. Without the assistant, active support of the billionaire overlords of that time in the late 20s and early 30s in Germany. Historian Timothy Ryback just published an article about this in The Atlantic. It came out last week. I've been kind of letting a lot of this soak in so that we can have these conversations about it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to begin to dive into some of what Mr. Ryback shared in his article in The Atlantic, but I want to hear from you as well. What are your thoughts on this? Are we at this sort of a tipping point? We've got David from San Francisco joining us. David, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Oh, hey, Maggie. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed it, but today is Lincoln's birthday, his real birthday.
Yes.
And on that very day, the Republican Party has decided to get rid of the penny, the tribute to Lincoln. So, of course, they've got no replacement for it. And no replacement for a tribute to Lincoln. So I'm going to call them the bait and switch party. And when you start looking at the, as you're describing the rise of tyranny, the rise of fascism, as I've studied rise and fall of Rome, a number of other, even ancient Greece, I kind of suspect that cooking the books was the reason why they had to kill the government, that the cronies and the, you know, in our case, maybe the military industrial complex, they've so committed fraud that they can never allow themselves to be caught. And so they would allow the government to be stolen away in order to escape with all the money. And the problem with that is that the value of the money is based upon honest calculations, and these guys can't allow honest calculations. So I don't remember if I got on your show and mentioned right at the turn of the year, Donald Trump was talking about taking American gold and turning it into Bitcoin, buying Bitcoin with American gold. Now, after that, then he all of a sudden creates his own cryptocurrency. So if he's going to buy Bitcoin, well, what about his cryptocurrency? What about Melania cryptocurrency? What about Doge? So it's obvious that they're creating a shell game, that they're going to try to buy Bitcoin. They're going to try to buy a shell game. They're going to try Melania money. They bounce around, bounce around, bounce around with fake numbers. And it goes right to the same point that they've cooked the books and they can't afford to get caught. So they'll play a shell game with the value of America until we get tired of it. And that's what I smell.
David, thanks so much. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, currency manipulation as a tool of dictators and authoritarians is incredibly well documented. Donald Trump's creation of what is effectively a very sophisticated money laundering operation, placing himself up for sale by selling these cryptocurrencies, both he and his wife. This is something that we should pay very close attention to. Why do you think Donald Trump may also be trying to threaten the independence of the Fed, our central bank, challenging the authority of the Federal Reserve chairman, of its independence, all of this of a part, right, of a whole? Let's dive in. We welcome more conversation from you all. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Often noted as the first industrialist, the first billionaire overlord of the time of Hitler's rise, is a guy by the name of Alfred Hugenberg, who in January of 1933 made his alliance with Hitler official. And again, it is that alliance that occurred in late January of 33, which then gave acceleration to catalyze the series of events that would culminate in basically the fall of Germany's government by June and the rise of Hitler and his control, his single-handed control of the entirety of Germany's government. The subsequent impact on Hugenberg's fortunes were not as he had hoped. But recall, if you go back to the late 20s and early 30s, Hitler's brand, his party, was anathema to the industrialists, the billionaire overlords of the time. Basically, the capitalists and the corporate elites from the late 20s and early 30s. He was had a socialist German workers' party. Its political platform explicitly targeted, quote, the elites and bankers and financiers. And it challenged those sort of corporate elites, much in the way that Donald Trump has tried to paint himself as an economic populist. And of course, in response to that branding of Hitler back in the late 20s, the businessmen of the time hated him. They preferred the more conservative, centrist, business-friendly politicians. And Hitler's National Socialists, of course, need money. You got to have money to keep your party and your movement going. They basically did that by asking for membership fees. They had their stormtroopers out on the corners, literally like begging for change. Oh, and they also charged admission fees to rallies. Does anything like this sound a little familiar to you about the grift that's been going, selling the suit he was booked into? Of course, the felon Steve Bannon soliciting donations for the wall, the golden sneakers, the Bibles, the cryptocurrency, go on and on and on. And of course, Hitler started to then effectively charm, most megalomaniacs can charm, some socialites and famous people. Another key industrialist was a guy by the name of Thyssen. He was the heir to one of Germany's biggest industrial fortunes. He was one of the very early financiers of the Nazi movement. He had met Hitler early on in, I believe it was like 1922-23. And he was just mesmerized at Hitler's ability to command a rally of a room full of people. He said this: "It was then that I realized that Hitler's oratorical gifts and his ability to lead the masses was unparalleled. What impressed me the most, however, was the order that reigned in his meetings, the almost military discipline of his followers." And he gave Hitler a really big check. And Hitler then continued to woo the industrialists of the time, speaking, in effect, out of both sides of his mouth, saying on the one hand to his followers, to the masses, to the vox populi, "I'm your guy. We'll fight the corporate elites." And out of the other side of his mouth, wooing those same corporate elites because he needed their money. He needed their support. And this started working quite well for Hitler. Hugenberg, the guy I started with, he had served as the director of Krupp, which was a large steelmaker and arms manufacturer during World War I, and subsequently founded the Telegraph Union, a media conglomerate with 1,400 newspapers. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We'll be right back. We'll pick up exactly where we left off with Hugenberg, his media conglomerate, and his ownership of steel and arms manufacturing, and his newly formed alliance with Adolf Hitler. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our exploration of the historical antecedents to this moment in American history continues after these brief messages. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are nearing a little bit past midpoint, maybe closer to the three quarters of the way through a brief reflection on the historical analogs to our present moment, looking at remembering the dictators of the past and their relationships with the billionaire overlords of their time. The pattern is undeniable. It's happened again and again and again throughout history. As one of our earlier callers also pointed out, it often involves some currency manipulation, trying to control the wealth of a nation. But we're specifically focusing on Hitler and his relationship with the billionaire overlords of Germany in the 1920s and 30s. They were necessary. Without the billionaire overlords of that time, Hitler would not have been able to seize power in Germany. We had discussed very briefly Fritz Thyssen, whose 1941 memoir, I Paid Hitler, in which he basically took credit for being the seed money for the Nazi Party. We talked about Hugenberg, an industrialist, a director of A.G. Krupp, a steelmaker, an arms manufacturer, who eventually went on to found the Telegraph Union, a conglomerate of 1,400 newspapers. He also ended up buying the country's largest movie studio. I want to take a couple calls, 855-75-CIVIC-855-752-4842, before we move forward. Paul from Spooner, you're up next, sir. What do you have to say?
Well, I think that we've already come to this place where, as we saw yesterday, the billionaire oligarch had his time in the Oval Office, where he was able to stand, and as the president sat in his desk, he was able to stand and take questions from the reporters to explain how things should be run. And there was nobody that was willing to stand up and say this isn't right. In fact, there's a little kid in there. It appears that our president's been reduced to the babysitter model So he was babysitting the kid as the oligarch stood there and explained everything. But at the same time, he's canceling all these contracts, and one of them he canceled was to put in these charging stations across the country. But guess why he doesn't want the government putting in charging stations? He wants Tesla
to do it.
Charging stations.
Yeah.
There you go. So there the oligarch is there. And again, I'm saying it's over because today, after the fact, not one Republican is saying a word about it to say, that wasn't right. That was not right. They're letting him get away with it. They continue.
Yeah, Paul, I totally agree with you. Here's the thing. We are not going to let him get away with it. I don't think Trump voters are okay with greenlighting a billionaire overlord puppet master. The visual from yesterday was absolutely shocking, disgusting. And it is up to every single last one of us to keep talking to our friends, family about these things, that we deserve better than an unelected billionaire overlord pulling the strings of a wannabe tin pot dictator who's losing his marbles or has already lost them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to take a couple more calls. I want to remind everybody, Hugenberg, again, steelmaker, arms manufacturer, bought up newspapers, owned a movie studio. This was the second major funder of Adolf Hitler. Does this sound like today? I mean, what are the analogs of the arms of today, of the steelmakers of today? Perhaps the AI and tech bros? Elon actually himself? Oh, what did Elon buy? Just like Hugenberg. Hugenberg bought up all the newspapers. Germany's largest movie studio. Elon does what? Buys up X and runs algorithms that depress more progressive democratic content, elevates hate speech, division, Russian misinformation, and of course, the Megaverse. This is where we're at. Dick from Madison, you're up next, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, that was just surreal yesterday. But
gross.
Could Trump's own ego save us? And I'm going to tell you why. Trump is actually a pauper next to all these people. He says he's a billionaire. We all know he's not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is that we all know he has a huge ego and a huge opinion of himself. At what point does he get rubbed the wrong way too much by all his attention to all these others, and he just blows the whole thing up? Because he went through people at the beginning of his last administration willingly. You know how fast. Rex Tillerson, yes. Right on down the line. They just kept, maybe in a weird, perverse way, he could save us from these people. I don't.
Yeah, Dick, it's important, again, to return to our history, because every single one of Germany's billionaire overlords from the 1920s and 30s ended up either in a concentration camp themselves, not every one of them, or Hitler ended up seizing some of their assets if he turned against them. There was a small number of them, and you'll recognize some of the names of the companies that were able to skirt some responsibility, including Hugenberg. But it required a world war to stop Hitler and the deaths of millions of people. So we got to ask ourselves, how do we resist today? How do we not accept catastrophe? And again, I think absolutely pestering every single elected official showing up on April 1st here in Wisconsin to vote for a Supreme Court that will try to follow the law and not take the directives of a billionaire overlord and a wannabe tin pot dictator. Hugenberg then endorsed this approach, Katastrophenpolitik. I don't speak German, just means the politics of catastrophe, by which he sought to polarize public opinion. And he used entirely fabricated news articles intended to cause confusion and outrage. According to one such story, the government was enslaving German teenagers and selling them to its allies in order to service its war debt. Hugenberg calculated that if he was able, through his newspapers, and movie studios to hollow out the political center, to foment dissension and divide, political consensus to oppose him would become impossible, and the democratic system of Germany would collapse. We pick right back up there, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Tuesday, you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Typically on this segment, the commodities we're talking about are grown as crops. But today we're talking about something a little more shiny. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says a popular precious metal is rallying in the market. It's gold.
Yes, gold has broken to new all-time highs here in this last few days with this most recent move higher. And again, this is just a point where gold is one of those commodities that people go into in terms of purchasing when there's a lot of instability, and it's a flight to safety for per se in that regard. You know, with the volatility that's come in with President Trump's programs and policies, there's just a little bit of concern where things are going to be. So a commodity that that money will move into is gold.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing based in West Bend. We'll take a look at what grain and dairy prices are doing in just a moment.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
On the close Tuesday from Chicago, grain markets closed lower, but only in the single digits. Cash corn down 7.5 cents at $4.84 a bushel. December new crop corn closed down a penny at $4.70 and a quarter. Cash soybeans down 6 cents at $10.43 and a half, and November new crop beans closed down 2 cents at $10.55 and a half. July new crop wheat down 2.75 cents, closing at $6.01 and 3/4. Currently, the March Class 3 milk contract is up 19 cents at $19.88 a hundredweight. The April contract is up a penny at $19.48. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which also closed higher today. Barrel cheese up a quarter of a cent at $1.81 and 3/4. The 40-pound block cheese up a half a cent at $1.90 and 3/4. And AA butter closed up a nickel at $2.43. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy and cold today, with high temperatures staying stuck to the single digits and a small chance of some light spotty snow. The flurries will wind down by late tonight. This is also when a cold weather advisory goes into effect. Temperatures slide to 15 below zero, and with wind chills, it'll be feeling about 30 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, this year they have snow. Sean Connolly will be joining us to talk about the Birkebeiner. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. More snow on the way. All the details coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining me. We are reviewing the long history, the numerous moments in recorded history where wannabe tin pot dictators or authoritarians or wannabe kings forged alliances with the billionaire overlords of their time to help fund and then later solidify their control over government. Hitler being one of those historical analogies to our moment that has probably been written about most. I've been sharing with you some of the work from historian Timothy W. Ryback, who runs the Institute for Historical Justice and Reconciliation in The Hague. He's written a book about this. And there are simply undeniable parallels between Hitler's rise and his relationship with the billionaire overlords in Germany of the 20s and 30s, and Donald Trump's ascension, reascension, and his relationship with the billionaire overlords of our time, most notably Elon Musk, visually symbolized, shown to us all right out in the open yesterday with Elon standing over Donald Trump in the Oval Office. Just weird, icky. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton, you say what this afternoon, ma'am?
Well, I got a couple of things. First of all, you asked earlier if the people that voted for Trump are okay with this. I'm going to say yes, they are okay with this. Every person that voted for him, I even hear them on Earl's show and other shows every day talking about how they're still very proud of the fact that they voted for him. And I'm just going to say that Elon Musk is not the only billionaire. There are lots of other right. billionaires out there who understand what this is not only going to do to the United States economy, but to the world economy, and they have a lot to lose. I'm predicting that there's a movement afoot to take Trump and Musk, both of them, to their knees.
We're going to have to watch this space. I completely agree with you, Cindy. My problem, and listen, I've got a texter right now saying, oh, here you go, you libs freaking out and the Hitler stuff and calling Donald Trump a fascist didn't work before. My point here isn't, is Donald Trump a fascist? Because I'm never going to convince a Trump voter that he is. My point is, whether or not a Trump voter today realizes it, accepts it, and acknowledges that billionaire overlords, including but not limited to Elon Musk, 100% correct, Cindy, are the actual problem. That is my point. And that our democracy isn't served well. We are not served well as the middle class when billionaires dictate public policy. They do not, they have no party. I've said this many times. They aren't Democrats or Republicans. They're billionaires. They seek more wealth, more power, more control. That is the problem. Hitler and Hugenberg, who was one of his billionaire overlord financiers who helped the Nazi Party rise to power, helped Hitler seize power, were anti-democratic, anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic. But their political partnership ended up failing spectacularly. The two could not coexist. And it wasn't their ideological differences. Does this seem a little familiar to anyone? Might this portend what we're seeing go on with Elon and Hitler? I'm sorry, Trump. They both were incredibly inflexible, stubborn, self-righteous, egocentric. When they were challenged by anyone or each other, they would double down. So one of them ultimately could only prevail, and that eventually became Hitler. And Hugenberg was sidelined when Hitler had finally, while speaking out of both sides of his mouth, while telling the masses, the people of Germany, that he was on their side, he was for the working man, while at the other side of his mouth, wooed and courted all of the industrialists because he needed their money. He was able to leave Hugenberg behind. And by the way, Hugenberg and Hitler, as they rose in power, and they did so side by side for a while, what was one of their first tactics? And Steve from Milwaukee on the text line, I'm looking at you. According to historian Timothy Ryback, guess what they did? They engaged in outrage politics. They planted false stories in the media. They used propaganda. Oh, and they purged. They purged opponents wherever they found them, from whatever levels of government, local, national, that they could. They dismantled workers' rights. They lowered wages. And they placed tariffs, protectionist tariffs made to benefit the billionaire overlords, the industrialists of the time, leading to inflation. But finally, by June 29th, 1933, Hugenberg had resigned his minister post, and Hitler no longer needed him. And he eventually was able to take complete control of the German government. And remember, these relationships were first secret and covert. The activities to seize power were at first secret and covert, but then they were all out in the open. Does this sound familiar to anyone? And the corruption, the grift continued because Hitler continued to need a source of money and backing. Of course, just a quick recollection, basically Hitler dismantled Germany's democracy in a matter of weeks. The arson attack on the Reichstag on February 27th, the March 5th elections from which the Nazis emerged with a mandate, claimed mandate, and then finally the passing of an enabling law on March 23rd that established Hitler as an unchallenged dictator. And the industrialists continued to benefit. They benefited from slave labor. They lined their pockets. Ferdinand Porsche designed the Volkswagen, the car for the people. One of the industrialists, IG Farben, and its subsidiaries were using slave laborers. That corporation owned Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Bayer Pharmaceuticals, of course, produced Zyklon B, which was used for the final solution. Eventually, Hugenberg was arrested by British military police in the fall of 1946. He was detained for months, his asset frozen. But incredibly, he was determined to be, quote, untainted by his relationship with Hitler. And he was eventually able to lay claim to his frozen assets and remained unrepentant to his death. So we've got some work to do here, folks, and some history to be revisited, because the stakes could not be higher for the middle class, for working people in this country. Believe what you want about Donald Trump, but this is the one thing that I know to be true. I am not okay, and I don't think America is okay with an unelected, unappointed, unconfirmed, unaudited, unsupervised billionaire overlord and his adolescent minions with their fingers in our pocketbooks, with their finger on the scale of justice. I'm not okay with that. I don't think it serves any one of us in any way, shape, or form. And it ain't what we signed up for. Now, is it true that most Trump supporters aren't there yet? Yep. But the pain of the policies has yet to reach them. So our enemy isn't the Trump voter, everyone. It's not the conservative. Our problem, our enemy, if you will, and I don't like language like that, but if we have to identify the problem, it's the billionaires. It's the corruption, damn it. Because without them, there is no MAGA. There is no Donald Trump. It is the corruption, damn it. So let's keep our eye there, because I don't believe conservatives of good faith, Trump voters, and I believe there are Trump voters of good faith, are okay with corruption being the rule of law, the rule of the day in the United States. So thanks for your patience with me this afternoon. Thanks for your input, your calls, the texts. Cam from Appleton, Steve from Milwaukee, Ken from Mount Horeb, and even my conservative friends texting in on the line. Mark from Sussex, I see you too, friend. But it's time for us to turn the page because we all need a little relief. And so we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated episode of Over the Hump and Trump. And with whiteout conditions as I look out of my studio here in Waukesha at the WAUK, I'm super happy to bring on two very good friends of the show, my senior producer, Jamie, and a storm chaser extraordinaire, none other than Corey Hartman. Welcome, welcome to both of you. Over the Hump and Trump today. Folks, if you've never heard the segment before, it's where we take a little break from politics. We talk about the things that connect us, that help us be creative, that rejuvenate us. And today we're going to talk about snow days and the joy that they collectively bring, so long as you don't have to be out of them. Welcome, Jamie. Welcome, Corey. Thanks for being here.
Well, how's it going?
I'm good. I got all that Hitler business off my chest, so now we can talk about something fun.
Well,
shall we
have to lighten it up a little bit, because nobody wants a snow day with Hitler talk, right?
No, it's a little dark.
This is what they used to do to me all the time in TV, too. They'd be like,
let's go to the weather guy.
And a bus of nuns crashed into the ditch. Corey, how about weather?
Well, because when
you're well prepared then.
Well, when you have nothing else to say, you can always lean on the weather. I mean, everybody wants to deal with it, so or not deal with it in this case. So
being from Wisconsin, right? Like weather is a unifying, like creed de guerre. We all fight the weather. We shovel together. We plan it together. It's all of those things. So, Corey, what? Give us our status quo. How are things going across the state?
So the roads are starting to get to be a mess, especially in the Milwaukee metro. Things around Madison, not too bad. Some of the belt lines, some of the side roads are slowing down a little bit. But we've got some pretty decent snow that has moved through and continues to move through southern portions and southeastern portions of the state. Anywhere from 4 to probably 6 inches. Some places we're getting the afternoon updates are coming in hot and heavy, but there's a pretty good band of snow right now working its way through Milwaukee. It stretches back toward the Whitewater area through Waukesha and right into downtown. And then a new band has just kind of formed, Monroe, Monticello, Verona, south of Madison, and will be moving in just in time for the evening commute in Madison as well. So,
super. We have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
It was
just the Super Bowl. It's now the Super Bowl of weather today. These are one of those days. So we've got tornadoes blowing through Mississippi right now as we speak, and a heavy swath of snow across the central part of the country and upper Midwest.
Well, the word of the day then is proceed with caution, everyone. Please drive slowly and carefully. you allow yourself a little extra time. For this episode of Over the Hump and Trump, I wanted to have a little fun with both you, Corey, and Jamie, and talk about some of our favorite snow day activities. MPS schools had school call today, along with a lot of different school districts across southeastern Wisconsin. I know Madison schools, they're in school. So folks, as you get and pick up your little ones, please be careful out there. But if you want to share with us some of your favorite snow day activities and memories, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're doing a little abbreviated version of Over the Hump and Trump, where we talk about the things that actually bring us together here in Wisconsin, like the weather, like the joy and fun of snow days. As soon as we take care of this next bit of business, I'm going to ask both Jamie and Corey their favorite snow day activities and yours. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The New Hampshire legislature has proposed various schemes over the last decade to keep liberal-leaning college students living in the state from voting in elections. Most have failed, but no fewer than three voter suppression bills are before the legislature this year. A 2020 New Hampshire Supreme Court decision overturned a previous law, SB 3, and preserved the current rules allowing college students to use their dormitory or off-campus address as their legal domicile for voting purposes. As of last November, an official student ID could still be used as identification. That could change with HB 323, which eliminates school-issued identifications as acceptable means for ID for voting. SB 223 has been tried before. It allows any student eligible to vote in New Hampshire to qualify for in-state tuition at any state university system campus, but also eliminates college-issued IDs as a form of identification. HB 289 challenges the definition of domicile again. Previous bills tried to outlaw dormitories as acceptable domicile, require a car registration, or to have a New Hampshire driver's license. HB 289's latest tactic prohibits domicile status for anyone who is legally a dependent at an address outside the state. We've linked to local reporting and the text of the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Hope your fire's on, no place to go, metaphorically or literally, and then you're keeping toasty out there, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't believe it. We're here. It's the last segment of this Snow Day Wednesday, and so we've got a little bit of time for Over the Hump and Trump. Got great two guests and friends with me today, Corey and Jamie. We are sharing memories, thoughts about our favorite snow day activities. Alas, given my current employment, snow days don't really exist anymore. I know you guys know all about that. Folks, if you'd like to share some of your snow day favorites or memories, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Corey, do you have some favorite snow day activities?
Well, you know, I grew up in the UP of Michigan.
There was never a snow day.
Never happened. Put on the chains, get out the snow cat, and get your butt to school.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and it was uphill both ways, by the way. So, I mean, sledding, right? I mean, that was it, right? You find your favorite hill and you grab the sled and you blow the dust off of it, or maybe not, and wax down the bottom and give her.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been hit by the toboggan going max speed at the bottom of the hill? I've had a few of those yard sales. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or into the brush.
Oh, yes. You know, at the bottom of the hill. where your captain in the front isn't steering the toboggan well. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, I didn't let anybody steer. I had enough inertia all on my own. I didn't need...
Me and you both, friend. I was 6 feet by the time I was 14, so I feel you there. Yeah. I think I heard you, Mr. Zommers, running the board today for us here on the Maggie Don Show. Do you have a favorite snow day activity, sir?
I will say, you know, I have younger sisters, and so we wouldn't always go sledding. When we did, it was fun, but sometimes it's just go outside, make snowmen, build a snow fort, come back in and have that delicious hot chocolate to warm back up. Mm-hmm. That was always great. As far as sledding, though, one of my favorite places to sled is Camp Sinewa. It's a Boy Scout camp that has a huge hill that goes down, and then there's like a 2-foot drop onto the lake. Ooh. And so at the bottom, you had to decide, all right, how fast are we going? Are we going to bail out, or are we going to just
bailing?
Take the big...
That's pretty hardcore.
That is pretty hardcore, yeah.
Hats or snow boots off to you, Mr. Zombers,
right?
For that one.
Literally. With a 2-foot drop, lots of things can go flying at that point.
Flying on, hat pops off.
That's right.
Seriously injured.
That's good. That's good.
Not seriously injured. Just slightly injured.
Couple you bruises. Sound like you were a kid in the 70s, which I know was not true, because I don't know how any of us made it out of that decade without more serious injuries, because there was a lot of just recklessness happening. I am actually going to get off of the air at 4. I'm going to get an old school plastic sled out of my garage attic.
Yes,
I'm going
are.
To go down Water Street, mm-hmm. hike up Brewer's Hill with a buddy of mine, and actually go sledding after the show today. So if I end up with an injury report tomorrow, y'all know why.
Still got to do the show. You still got to do the show.
No excuses.
Aye, Captain.
No excuses. See, and I...
Black eyes, not an excuse. Jamie, what are your favorite snow day activities?
I grew up in South Dakota, right? So basically, if the wind came up over 10 miles per hour, there was nothing to stop it. So every day was essentially a snow day. Now, I was an only child like you, Maggie. So I had some pretty hardcore parents. We had to scoop out things first. And of course, there's always a little bit of fun because that's how my parents were. So we did that. And then we'd always build snowmen. We had one hill in Mitchell, South Dakota, where I grew up. And that was essentially the sledding hill. Everybody gathered. And Corey, we lived there for a little bit when our kids were small. So you know exactly what hill I'm talking about.
Yes, the one hill.
The hill where
I pushed Dexter, who wasn't ready, and I heard him complaining all the way down the hill.
Yes.
And it just got...
Yeah.
That was exactly what happened.
He also didn't like to trudge back up the hill with his sled. Mm-hmm. So then he complained all the way back up at the same time. So, yes.
I remember the first time I ever went to like a groomed toboggan hill, and it had a gondola, like a ski lift that you just grab onto the rope. I was like, this.
Oh, that would have been.
Best.
Yeah. Oh.
It was like zero effort. Just go have fun. It was so amazing.
That's amazing. Now, I was going to say, Sue is over on the text line, Maggie. Did you see this?
Nice.
And she says the same in Racine at North Beach. She says they'd sled down, and if you had a good run, you could make it onto what would actually be sand.
Them's the breaks. Love it, Sue and Franklin. Hope you're staying toasty this afternoon. Now, my friends, you and I are all of similar vintage, so I'm going to ask you this one last question to round out today's little segment of Over the Hump and Trump, trying to get away from the politics here. Being of a similar vintage to me, having logged some years in the 70s, did your mother's hot chocolate ever include, you know, a little splash of the Baileys, maybe a wee bit of the B&B, a little brandy, perhaps?
Yes. They said it was so that I could sleep better. That's not what it was. Well, it might have been on for them, for perhaps.
Sleep.
Yes.
You slept better.
I did. But no, I mean, if you're a child of the 70s, was that even not an option? I mean, was it not? Right. I'm pretty sure. And my mom made homemade hot cocoa mix, by the way, which was amazing. Not just packets, homemade. So, yeah.
I just want the little marshmallows. I just want the little marshmallows. The little ones. The little tiny ones.
Yeah. White marshmallows or multicolored, Corey?
Oh, both. Whatever you got.
Oh, just let them melt in. Who cares?
D, all of the above. Now the really have fancy like hot chocolate kits with the and the melting chocolate slash marshmallow. It's amazing. Well, my thanks to you, Corey and Jamie, and of course Aaron Zommer's on the board today for sharing a little bit of our favorite snow day activities. I'm going to leave it there, folks. You got Dom Salvia coming up next. Maybe ask my little buddy how he likes to get down those snow hills. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together, but not on a sled.
Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome 24 actor Glenn Morshauer. And joining the show all the way from Sweden, our favorite musical duo, 7,000 Apart. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We learned Tuesday that Mark Vogel, an American school teacher wrongfully detained by Russia, was released in a prisoner swap. Today, the U.S. releasing a convicted Russian criminal, says White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt.
The Russian who will be returning home very soon, Alexander Vinnik, was a nonviolent crypto criminal. And as part of this exchange, he has forfeited more than $100 million that he obtained in that illegal crime.
In a social media post, President Trump saying today he talked to Russian leader Vladimir Putin that they agreed for their teams to, quote, start negotiations immediately to end the Russia-Ukraine war. Trump then calling Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky to let him know what was discussed. Doge at the door. Sources tell us the State Department's begun instructing U.S. embassies around the world to start planning for staff reductions. The Senate today confirming Tulsi Gabbard as to serve as Director of National Intelligence, to vote 52-48. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.